dear parishioners, this Sunday and this Feast of the Holy Name occurs every year, either on January 2nd or on the Sunday between New Year's and Epiphany. And it is an opportunity to reflect upon the holiness, the glory, the awesomeness of the name of Jesus. And we say the most holy name of Jesus, which means Savior. And there were other men that were called Jesus or Yeshua, but none of them were ever called Jesus the Anointed One, which is what Jesus Christ means. Jesus is Savior. Christus, or Christ, means the Anointed One. Only the God-man can hold this most awesome name. So we reflect upon this name and upon also the name of God, upon the tremendous duty of reverence that we have. And before we even begin to talk about the name of God, I'd like to just reflect on this wonderful gift of speech that we all have. We have the power every day to use our tongues, and we can say good things with that tongue. We can also say bad things. And under bad things, I would include every sin of the tongue, every misuse of the tongue that violates one of God's commandments. What are some misuses of this tongue? Telling lies. Our mind knows one thing and our tongue is saying something else. A sin, or rather words of uncharitableness, words of meanness, words of detraction, wanting to talk about something that was a hidden sin and we don't have a right to broadcast that to others, or worse yet, to make up a lie about somebody. Words of impatience, and certainly we would have to include any taking of the name of God in vain. It is a sin. It's an abuse of speech. So think about the power your tongue has. As St. James says in his epistle, such a small member of the body, but oh, how much evil could be done by it. And then in his epistle, he gives three analogies. I don't have them here in front of me, what the tongue is like. I think a couple of them that come to my mind is the idea of from a small fire comes a huge forest conflagration. So there's one image he gives us. And you might say this is the precursor or the predecessor to Smokey the Bear holding up that burnt out match in front of him and a burnt out forest behind him. So St. James thought of that analogy some 20 centuries ago. A little fire can make a whole forest go up in flames. That's the power of the tongue. Another analogy that St. James uses is the rudder of a ship. It's not that big of a piece of equipment on the ship, but it's crucial. Without a rudder, a ship can't go to where it needs to go. That rudder, relatively small to the size of the ship, can turn a huge vessel, even ocean-going vessels, in a certain direction. So powerful ideas there. We need to understand, my dear brethren, the power of speech, the power of the tongue, the power of communication. This is why there's that saying, the pen is mightier than the sword. In the short run, of course, the sword causes immense harm and death. But an idea that's communicated by the pen can, in the long run, cause make more of a difference than the sword can. We need to watch out for what we say, my dear brethren. We can easily abuse this gift of speech. We can say things we should not say that God forbids us to say. Of course, there are times when we should also say something and not be cowards in saying it. I'm not talking about that. But what an important thing to reflect on. The power, the gift of speech. Think of all the good things that are done by speaking. This is why priests are told to, and by the laws of the church, to give sermons on Sundays, explain the epistles, explain the gospels, explain the faith, use the gift of speech to help you live your faith better, to be more aware of God, to be more aware of your duties to God, your relationship to God. Sometimes sermons can reach seemingly the most hardened hearts or the most unlikely. I remember reading the life of Maria von Trapp, yes, the famous mother of the von Trapp children, upon whom The Sound of Music was written, the book and also rather the play and the movie. But at a certain point in her young life, in her late teenage years, early 20s, she had apostatized from her Catholic faith. She had been baptized, but she strayed away from the faith. She was in a bad way. But she loved to go to the churches and cathedrals of Vienna and Salzburg to listen to the wonderful music, you know, those polyphonic masses and other inspiring sacred works that would be done there, either outside of Mass or even as part of the liturgy. But she happened to just be sitting in the church waiting for some musical event to happen. As it turned out, there was a sermon that day, right when she was in church. And the priest, in his sermon, touched her heart. She asked to see him after that. And she ended up making a good confession and returning to her Catholic faith. And you read about her life afterwards. I mean, her faith became so strong that she even wanted to be 2 years. She was in the convent for 2 years until she was told it wasn't her vocation, despite her willingness to sacrifice everything to live for God in the convent. And we know the story well. She married Captain von Trapp and became a mother to those 7 children and had 3 more children of her own with the captain. So all of that happened because the gift of speech was being used in a good and a holy way. And there were other graces there as well. But again, this is the power of speech. It can cause great harm. It can do an immense amount of good. And I would just like you to think about this today as we honor the holy name of Jesus. How do you look upon your gift of speech? Have you realized you carry dangerous goods with you? Your mouth, your ability to speak. You can use that in a good way and you can use it in a bad way. It's kind of like uranium or plutonium, atomic elements. If they're harnessed properly, guided properly, contained properly, they can produce immense amount of electrical power. They do this in nuclear plants. But also those same materials, when they are used in a bomb, they can do the most unbelievable damage. That's our gift of speech. How are we going to use it? Are we careful? Are we confessing the sins of speech that we have committed? St. James says, if you offend not in speech, you are perfect. So the only logical deduction to make from that is because we're not saints, because we're not perfect, we must be at times committing sins of the tongue. In other words, there will always be something to work on. Our Lord tells us that when we stand before him in judgment, we will have to answer for the idle word. Again, let's make another logical deduction. If we have to answer for the idle word, how much more are we going to have to answer for the sinful word? Sinful word. The saints all worked on bridling the tongue. We must also bridle our tongue. It has to be contained and guided so it's used carefully. We need to practice restraint at times, just not saying something, even though we may have something perfectly innocent to say. How about just mortifying and disciplining the tongue? Don't say it. Practice periods of silence. Not because we're in a bad mood and don't want to talk to anybody. No, we do feel like talking. Just practice that healthy restraint, knowing the power of the tongue. So, going on to the holy name of Jesus, the holy name of God. You know, it's interesting that in the Old Testament, based on an overly strict interpretation of something that was said, or that was written, I forget which of the early books it was written on, but it was something about not pronouncing the name of God unless you do it with the utmost reverence. And somehow that got misinterpreted by some of the Jews to mean you could never even say God's name at all. They were so worried about crossing the line that they might be in the least little way disrespectful to the name of God, and they didn't want to bring God's punishment down upon them. And to this day, Orthodox Jews, again, they're obviously not in the religion that they need to be in, as St. Paul says in today's, or the Acts of the Apostles says, it's only by the name of Jesus that we can be saved, and they reject Jesus, sad to say. But they also will not write the name of God. They will write the capital G, and then show a hyphen, and then D. Again, that's not necessary to take it to an extreme like that. What is common sense, what Holy Scripture does teach and what the Catholic Church teaches, is that if we do say the name of God, the name of Jesus, that it be appropriate, that it be done with reverence. That's the idea. But sad to say, not only do many sins of the tongue get committed, also, God's name gets taken in vain out of surprise or anger or worse. And what I would like to tell anybody that uses God's name in vain, what part of the second commandment do you not understand? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What could be plainer than that? What could be more straightforward than that? So we don't need to go to that extreme where the Orthodox Jews, the scrupulous Jews, felt like they couldn't even say the name of God. But let's not, on the other hand, lightly use the name of God, or certainly irreverently. The Catechism tells us it's a sin to use it out of surprise or anger. That's, if you have that habit, break it right now. We have to tell ourselves there is no excuse at all, ever, for using the name of God in vain. And for that matter, we have to tell ourselves no excuse for any bad language, any crude language. And that has varying degrees of sinfulness, and certainly there are the mortally sinful words that are used. They were talking not only about that sin itself, but the sin of scandal. You know, remember what Jesus said You know, better to have a millstone hung around one's neck and be drowned in the sea than to scandalize one of these little ones. So absolutely no justification for using God's name in vain or using bad language. It's sinful, and it indeed can be mortally sinful based on this, how much damage it's causing and the degree of the misuse there, the abuse of it. So let's remember also the power of God's name. In today's Acts of the Apostles, we read how a man was cured of his being a cripple. How? What did Peter and John say? In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And everybody was all in a tizzy. Look at the power of these men. And St. Peter says, no. It is by the power of this name that this man got up and walked. This name works miracles. This name of Jesus, this holy name of God, drives the devil away. This name is a prayer in itself. This name brings down blessings. That I mentioned, it drives the devil away. He hates and fears this name. And when somebody uses it devoutly, this person has put up a very strong wall against the devil. That's the power of the name that we honor today in a special way, the holy name of Jesus. And yes, it's a Catholic custom to bow one's head at the name of Jesus, even at the name of Mary. In the rubrics of the Mass, whenever the priest says the name of Jesus and he's at the right side of the altar, he's instructed, turn towards the crucifix and bow. We need to offer that praise, that reparation. Think of how many times God's name was taken in vain today. How many times was God's name blasphemed today? And if we love God, that's going to bother us. And we're going to want to make up for it by our reverent use, by our offering up prayer and sacrificial worship to atone for the sins of those who misuse the name of God. One last thing about the tongue. It has been found worthy enough to be a throne. A throne for whom? A throne for God Himself. Because when we receive Holy Communion, that tongue is a throne. It receives the body and blood, the divinity, the entirety of Jesus Christ. And He's on our tongue before we He's entirely consumed by us. How sanctified that throne should be, because God rests on it, not just spiritually, but physically. In your next Holy Communion and at other times, offer up a reparation through that Holy Communion for any sins of the tongue, and He will be pleased. He will know that you want to dedicate the use of your tongue for Him, for good things, and you offer reparation for the sins of others. Reflect on that dignity which you have, and may we always remember the power, the joy, the sweetness of the most holy name of Jesus, the name, the very name of our salvation. Call on that name, and He will help you in ways you probably can't even dream of through honoring that holy name of salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.